If you will, in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15. And while you're turning, let me say how thankful we are to have Sister King, Carol, and the young people, Jeannie Isdale, and those that are working with the youth. Sister Carol, we thank you for bringing them over, and we appreciate these precious young people, and they wanted to be in one of the services, and I'm glad that they're here tonight. Romans chapter 15, and for the text tonight, we're interested in verse 13. The title of our message, Abounding Through the Power of the Holy Spirit. Abounding through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you're going to be filled with hope and joy and peace, it will come as a result of you believing in the source from which joy and peace must come. And hope must come, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Living Bible puts it this way, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that God will help you overflow through the power of the Spirit. I pray that God will help you overflow through the power of the Spirit. That's the way the Living Bible puts it. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, that by the Spirit, or by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing and bubbling over through the power of the Spirit. Now, Dr. Webster says abound means to overflow, means to have plenty, means to be wealthy, means to be filled, means to have large amounts. And through the precious, sweet Holy Spirit, we can be filled through the power of the Spirit. We can overflow through the power of the Spirit. We can have plenty through the power of the Spirit. We can be spiritually wealthy through the power of the Spirit. We can have large amounts through the power of the Spirit. Anything you need, the precious and marvelous and glorious power of God can do it in your life, can supply it in your life. I love this, and I thank God for the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, in the church and through the church. Now, tonight in the message, we're going to consider three things, because our time will be shorter in preaching session than our teaching session is. So we're only going to deal with three things tonight. We're going to deal, first of all, with what the devil come to do, and what Jesus come to do, and what the Holy Spirit come to do. And then secondly, we're going to deal with the fact that we need to be careful, cautious, how we treat the precious Holy Spirit. And number three, we will be dealing with the Holy Spirit will make us like Jesus. Oh, the songwriter said to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. That ought to be our supreme desire And in closing tonight, through the power of the Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit, I can show you from the authority of God's Word without any degree of speculation or supposition how we can be like Jesus. And the only way that we can be like Jesus. Now, let's deal for a few moments tonight on what the devil come to do. Now, I don't like to give the devil any credit. But I like to talk about the fact that he's a defeated foe. And anytime you mention the devil, you have to mention one that is ultimately a defeat. He's going to be defeated. It don't seem like that he's defeated yet. But my friend, his day has not totally come. Now, as far as I'm concerned, in your life and my life, he's defeated. The enemy of my soul is defeated. The enemy of my soul is a loser. Hallelujah. And I am not his subject. He's my subject. I don't have to run from him. He runs from me. Through the power of Jesus' name. Through Jesus, I have more power than he does. How many of you believe that? Now notice I said through Jesus. To say anything like I'm saying tonight apart from Jesus Christ, anybody would be an egomaniac. But when you say through the power of the Lord, we have power. Through the power of the Spirit, we are not victims, we're victors. And we are more than conquerors, and we are overcomers. And he said, be filled through the power of the Spirit. Have plenty through the power of the Spirit. Be wealthy through the power of the Spirit. Have large amounts through the power of the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. We've got all we need plus. There's enough for me to be filled and run over on you, and you to be filled and run over on somebody else, and them to be filled and run over on somebody else. And there's something about that experience that it never seems second-handed. It's always good and wonderful and real and precious. All right, the Bible tells us what the devil come to do. In the book of Revelations, if you have your Bibles in chapter 12 and verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. Now I realize that is a prophecy. But the devil has come down, was cast down to this earth. He's come down. Now the Bible said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil has come to do. Number one, also the devil has come to deny God's word. The Lord said to Adam and Eve, all of this garden that you can have, there's only one thing in this garden you cannot have. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This entire garden belongs to you. Just don't touch this particular tree. Now, God did not want his mortals to be robots. He wanted them to have a choice. God has always put inside us the free moral agency, the prerogative of choice, and I'm glad that he did. And he put the prerogative of choice in Adam and Eve's life. They weren't parading around as innocent robots that had no choice. They had a choice, and God intended for them to have a choice. And he said, all of the rest of this in the garden you can have. But I say, now until we learn to obey the voice of God, we'll never be God's children. And Adam and Eve was no exception. They had to obey the voice of God. God had given them everything in the world that hearts could desire. They needed nothing else that God hadn't already given them. But he wanted them to have the prerogative of saying no to the tempter and yes to God. I want to tell you something. If you don't have that, then you don't have a choice. And God has given us a choice to serve him. I'm glad we're not forced into this. We have a choice to serve him. Oh, that's what makes it so beautiful and the relationship so wonderful. And so God said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't you touch. Everything else you can have. And the enemy come to deny the word of God. He always tries to deny the word or to offer some other translation that would take away from the meaning of the word of God. And so the devil come and said to Eve, why, thou wilt not surely die. God has said that you'll die, but you won't surely die. He come to deny the word of God. Now, from the devil's time, my friend, to every child that the devil has, he has always set out to deny the word of God. It may be a man standing in the position where I'm standing tonight, but any man that would stand in this sacred position and do anything but good for this word and would try to delete any portion of this word or to say that the Bible don't mean what it says and says what it means, that man is a voice for Satan in spite of whatever theological training he may have had. That man that stands and says that God don't really mean that His blood will wash away the sins, away with the slaughterhouse religion, is a false prophet. The man that stands and says the baptism of the Holy Spirit with its initial physical evidence is really not for the church today, it was done away with the apostle, is a man that is not a voice for God. He is doing damage to the Word of God. What God's Word says is ours. Amen. So just remember, my friend, that the enemy tries to deny the Word of God. He set out. That was his job. Number two, he come to deceive. Listen to what the Bible said in Revelations 20 and 3. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he deceive the nations no more. He is a deceiver. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 8, take heed that ye be not deceived. Jesus, God's Word said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived. Don't let the devil lie to you, the Word is saying. And the enemy is a deceiver. And I thought I'd tell you, he'll disguise himself and try to transform himself into an angel of light and come to you in every avenue to try to deceive you. And the Bible said in the last days, if possible, he had set out to deceive the very elect. But where is our spiritual assurance? Staying in the Word of God. Hearken diligently to the Word of God, so the enemy come to deceive. Then he come to tempt. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, and when the tempter come to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. He come to the Son of God. If thou be. There's no doubt about it. He is, he was, and he is now the Son of God. Amen. He forever will be the Son of God. And it's no ifs about it. But remember, whenever God says something, the devil always tries to put an if in front of it. He always wants to put that if. But hear me, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of authority and power. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, and the blessed, powerful Son of God, the living Word said back to the devil, Satan, it is written. And when he did that about three times, Satan went on the run. He set out to tempt even the Lord of our salvation, but failed. Remember, the tempter that you have is not God. For God tempteth no man with evil and cannot be tempted with evil. But when you're tempted of Satan. And it's no sin to be tempted. It's sin to yield to temptation. Quench the desires of the flesh. Bring them under subjection. Listen to the Word of God. Stay under the blood. And the tempter cannot touch you. Oh, glory to God. If you love Jesus, say amen. And then he also come to kill. That means to try to destroy. So it says kill, destroy. He come to give sorrow and pain and grief and death. Now, that's what the devil come to do. Enough of that. We're not going to talk about it anymore because he's defeated. And here comes one that's going to take care of all of his lousy works and all of his deceptive things that he would try to set out to do. Here's the one that has defeated him and will wind up with his foot on his neck, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire or into the pit. And the Bible said he will never tempt us anymore. Now, I'm talking about what Jesus come to do now. The one that is conquering the devil and did conquer the devil. And hallelujah, the final pages of the Word of God show Satan cast into the pit. Oh, glory. Not just bound for a season, but I mean destroyed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what Jesus come to do. I come. Oh, hallelujah. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Glory to God. And in 2 John chapter 3 verse 5, the Lord said he come to destroy. Who? Glory. Everybody say destroy. The works of the devil. Destroy. That means to destroy. To eradicate them. To cast them out and get them away from us. All the works of the devil. Hallelujah.
And the Bible said that the Lord come to seek. And he's been in the seeking business. And that's the reason we're in the seeking business. We're seeking people, as many as would be saved. We're endeavoring to pluck, as it were, brands from the burning. We love people. And I said a long time ago, it don't make any difference, my friend, whether you attend a church that runs 3,000 or whether you attend a church that runs 30. That church can be as warm as the people, and Jesus will warm our hearts. And let me tell you something. You can have 3,000 people, every one of them running towards the visitor with their arms wide open and their heart wide open, a smile on their face and victory in their talk, and that person will say, that's the warmest church I've ever been in. Everybody loves you there. Well, they never knocked me down trying to shake my hand. It's not the amount, my friend, that goes to the house of God that makes a church cold or warm. It, hear me, it has to do with the warmth of God in our hearts. And when we seek people, sincerely seek them and love them and desire them and want their welfare, hallelujah, the good of every person, that's a warmth there that only God puts there. So we're in the seeking business. Aren't you glad we are? We want to seek people. Find them. Love them. He said, I've come to seek. I've come to save. I've come to heal. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Let's go over that again. I've come to seek. I've come to save. I've come to heal. I've come to restore. I've come to bind up the broken heart. Ooh, what a ministry. Hallelujah. I've come to undo the heavy burdens. I've come to deliver. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to deliver from curse. He became a curse for us. For cursed is every man that hangs on the tree. The Bible says in Isaiah 38:14, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. I'm oppressed. There have been times you have been oppressed. I have been oppressed. But the Lord undertook for us. And he eradicated that oppressed feeling. Numbers 10:9 says, the enemy that oppresses you. Isaiah 58:6 said, let the oppressed go free. That was the ministry or the fast that the Lord had chosen. Now let's talk a minute about what the Holy Ghost come to do. How many of you believe that the ministry of Christ is effective? How many of you believe that Christ is the winner? How many of you believe that you're on his side? Hallelujah, don't that make a difference? We're on the winning side. Now the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? John 16:13 and 14 said he will guide us into all truth. Everybody say all truth. Now everybody say full gospel. When anybody tells you they go to a full gospel church, they simply go to the church that preaches all the truth. It's not a church that preaches salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ and leaves all the healing to the doctors. It is a church that believes in salvation through the atoning blood of Jesus, divine healing through the atoning stripes. It also believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. It also believes in the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride, the translation of the bride. Amen. The gathering together in the clouds of glory. And then we're going to come back with the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will come for his church, and then the Lord will come with his church. We believe that. And so the Bible said the Holy Spirit will guide you into partial truth. No. All truth. That's all of it. That's from generations to revolutions, that the black man said. That's from the beginning to the end. That's from Genesis to Malachi. That's from Matthews to Revelation. The full, total Word of God. All truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Turns up the volume of the truth to our heart and tells us we can have what God says is ours in this day and hour. We need it. God says it's ours. The Holy Spirit says you can have it. And then John 14:26 says he'll teach us all things. Guides us into all truth and teaches us all things. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just doesn't enable a preacher to be a preacher. The Holy Spirit don't just enable a Sunday school teacher to be a Sunday school teacher. The Holy Spirit don't just enable a piano player to be a piano player. The Holy Spirit don't just enable a choir or a minister of music to be a minister of music. The Holy Spirit enables a businessman to be a businessman. I said the Holy Spirit doesn't quit here in the church. As soon as you leave the church, everybody's out for their own benefit. And I mean, it's just root hog and die. Make it the very best you can. And if you don't make it, it won't be done. My friend, they don't know anything about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works outside of the church as well as in the church. Hallelujah. He ministers all the way through. And I thank God He teaches us what? All things. Not just some things. Not just spiritual things. He tells us all things. Well, the Holy Spirit can teach a farmer how to be a good farmer. Do you believe what I'm saying tonight? By the Word of God. Why, the Lord got involved in Simon Peter's fishing business. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God can move in our lives. Then 2 Corinthians says, in 3:17, He gives liberty. Oh, liberty in worship. Liberty in preaching. Liberty in singing. Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So He gives liberty. Romans 5:5, He fills our hearts with love. The love of God shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. John 16:7 said, He comforts us. When we are saddened and when we need our hearts to be bound up and comforted, we need the paraclete, the comforter, to come. He's the blessed comforter. Acts 1:8 says, He gives us power to witness. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:14 says, the Spirit will say, come to be saved. Come. The bride says come. The Spirit says come. Whosoever will, let him come. So the Holy Spirit is involved in evangelization. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now let me hurriedly show you how effective the Holy Spirit was in the church, if we may. It's success. Now, there were four disciples that stayed with Jesus all the way to the cross. One man and three women. One man named John, three women named Mary. And then chapter 19 tells us about this. And then in chapter 20, the Bible said on the resurrection day, behind barred doors, there were 10 disciples gathered. Thomas and Judas wasn't with them. 10 others was gathered for fear of the Jews. But the Lord came. Now that's in chapter 20. Now the Word of God said in Acts 1:15 that 120 was there. Now it was first 4, and then it was 10. And then it was 120. Praise the Lord. It's growing. And then the Bible said in Acts 2:41, the same day there was added to the church 3,000. So there was 4, there was 10, there was 120, there was 3,000. Then the Bible said in Acts 4:4, shortly thereafter, the number of men was about 5,000. Say, it's growing all time since the Holy Ghost is coming. And the next church census was taken, and the Bible said in Acts 4:32, and there was a multitude of them that believed. Acts 5:14 said, multitudes were added. Acts 6:1 said, the numbers of the disciples was multiplied. And the last numerical account of the thriving Pentecostal movement in Acts 6:7, the number of the disciples multiplied, and great company was added. The priests were that obeyed was added to the faith also. Friend, if you want to talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry in and through the church, you're talking about a church that is growing in a tremendous way. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you're a part of that church tonight? Now I want to deal with number 2. We need to be careful how we treat the precious, sweet Holy Spirit. Careful how we treat the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Bible says in Acts 7:51, Stephen speaking, ye stiff neck, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that we should never resist the Holy Ghost by the Word of God, by the meaning. And another translation don't just say resist, it says oppose the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, Brother Miller, I don't think anybody in Faith Temple is guilty of opposing the Holy Ghost. I'm sure that's true. But those who say that this mighty power is not available in the same measure as it was on the day of Pentecost or in the book of Acts as it moved through the church is literally resisting the Holy Ghost or opposing the Holy Ghost. How many of you will agree with that? Now, they may not be doing it deliberately. It may be ignorantly. But some men did what they did ignorantly. But hear me, God will judge us until we obey the truth. The truth sets us free. Not just sincerely, sincerity alone, but it's been sincerely right. And that's by the Word of God, the truth. And so the Bible speaks of resisting the Holy Spirit. And we resist Him by rejecting His call, by neglecting His call, by failing to heed. And there's many ways that you can resist the precious, sweet Holy Spirit. Let me share with you what the Bible said in Romans chapter 13 and verse 2. What a severe warning this is. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Friend, that's strong language. Whosoever resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God. Don't resist the Holy Spirit, the Bible said. Don't oppose the Holy Spirit. Number two, there's a strong warning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't resist Him. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63 and 10. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit, the Bible said. Ananias and Sapphira grieved the Holy Ghost. Will you agree with that remark? They grieved the Holy Ghost. Not only did they grieve the Holy Spirit out of their life, but my friend, the judgment of God came down upon them at the altar because they lied to the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that it's a dangerous thing to lie to God. And then the Word of God said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, that early king, and when the Spirit came on him, he was turned into another man. But hear me when I say, later in life, because he grieved the Holy Spirit, grieved God, disobeyed God, let jealousy and hate come in, and deliberately tried to kill God's anointed, the Spirit departed from him. He grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved God's Spirit until finally the Spirit departed. Oh, I don't know how you feel, but there is a word of warning to this preacher. Help us, dear Father, not to grieve your Holy Spirit. And I know that this message is not a shouting message tonight, but we still need to hear it. Help us not to resist or oppose the Holy Spirit. Help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Dear Father, help us not to grieve your Spirit. And then finally, the Bible speaks in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Help us not to quench that Spirit. And that quench means to extinguish or to put out or to cover up or to fail to give to His leadership and liberty. Oh, I don't want to quench the Spirit. I don't want to try to extinguish the fire. Amen? It's getting quiet in here. But I mean, we have the warning in the Word that it's a dangerous thing to resist the Spirit, to grieve the Spirit, and to quench or try to extinguish or smother down or hinder the works of the Holy Ghost. Now here's where the real responsibility comes to the under-shepherd. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. While I don't want 1 ounce of wildfire, you may have heard some ministers say, I don't worry about wildfire. There's enough old wet blankets to put it out. I do not want wildfire. Nothing superficial about God. He is all supernatural. Say amen. There is nothing superficial about the precious, sweet Holy Spirit. His movings, His dealings is all supernatural. So I want nothing that is wild. I want nothing that is superficial. I want nothing that is synthetic. But I want all of that which is real. And may God help us never to quench that which is real. And let God move in our lives till we lend an ear sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And we try the Spirit. And we know that which is God. And never put our finger on that which God does. Can you say amen? And then I must hurry. I'm closing with this. How can I live like Jesus? In the book of John, it is so plain in 1 John. If you want to turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 4. And we're dealing with verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. What? Because as He is, so are we. Where, Brother Miller? In heaven? No. In this world. Everybody believes that. Let me see your hand. Because as He is. Now you see, He's not the I was or the I will be. He's the I am. So the John writing said as He is. Not as He was or as He will be. As He is, so are we. As He is, as the great I am, so will we be. In what? When we get to heaven, get the glorified body. No. In this present world. Now when the Holy Spirit gave this beautiful statement to me, it was just saying, for what was true of Christ in reference to the Holy Ghost is also true of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. Now that's right. As He is, so are we. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, that Jesus and the angel answered and said unto her, that's Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the immaculate conception of the Holy Spirit. He came by the plan of God and not by the plan of man. And so Jesus was spirit born. Now what about us? The Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus was spirit born, so must we be spirit born. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I love the teaching of the Word of God. We were reproved by the Holy Spirit. We were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And then we were born by the Holy Spirit. Whew, glory to God. He was spirit born. We are spirit born. Then the Bible tells us also that Jesus was sealed with the Holy Spirit. So are we. Now what does that word, Pastor, mean? Sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means for God to put His mark of approval upon. Did you know that when Jesus went down in the water and John was to baptize Him, that He may be the example as our perfect example? He said to John, suffer it to be so. John said, I must needs be baptized of you. Jesus said, you suffered to be so. You let me be baptized because I'm going to set a pattern. He's our perfect pattern. And the Bible said they went down into the water, and when Jesus come up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, and God spoke out of heaven and put His seal upon His Son. That don't mean just an insignia of the ring that a king used to put to make a seal, but it means approval also, and a mark of approval. And God spoke out of heaven where anybody wouldn't be in any doubt, and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. And the second time He spoke on the Mount of Transfiguration and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I please, hear ye Him. The approval of the Lord, the seal of God the Father was upon His Son. And I want to tell you, we need the mark of approval. We need the seal, and we need to be sealed with the Lord. Hallelujah. His mark of approval. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:13, Paul speaking, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed, praise God, are marked as belonging to Christ by the Holy Ghost, is what another translation says, with the Holy Ghost of promise. And then Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, are approved unto the day of redemption. As he was approved of his Father, we need the approval of God upon our lives. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, if I've got the approval of God on me, I'm a rich man. All others in the world might misunderstand, but if I've got God's approval upon me, if there's nothing between my soul and my Savior, and I can lay down at night knowing I pleased Him and I walked with Him without any offense of conscience, and I know that all is clear and God is saying, I appreciate your work and I feel like I did that which is right in the sight of God, I'd rather have that endorsement than all of the endorsement of men in the world. Men might be fooled about you and I, but God is never fooled. And when God calls something good, it's good. I want His approval upon my life. Oh, glory. I'd rather for the King to say, my seal of approval, I have sealed you. And then finally, as Jesus was led by the Spirit, and the Bible said in Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. As many are, as are the sons of God, are led by the Spirit. If we're the sons of God, we can be led by the Spirit. How many of you believe that? To be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:4. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are daughters of God. As we're led by the Spirit. Christ need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We don't know everything that's out ahead of us. But oh, when we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. How, Brother Miller, how can I know that I'm in the will of God? Follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Stay close to the Lord. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. And follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you'll know that all is well. You see, the Holy Spirit led Jesus, and it led him by the seaside, and it led him by Jericho's road, and it led him by Jacob's well, and it led him by Zacchaeus' tree, and it led him by Lazarus' tomb, and it led him by the pool of Bethesda. And every place where the Holy Spirit led him, there were people with needs, and he met all of their needs. Oh, glory. Dear Father, help us to be led by the Spirit. But that Spirit also led him to Calvary. A distasteful experience. An experience that his flesh drew back from. But an experience that his Father said, he must taste death for every man. The Spirit may not always lead us in pleasant paths. For it could be possible we must needs go through a valley. But David said, I'll fear no evil. Lord, thou art with me. It may not be that the Spirit will always lead us on top of the mountaintop. It could be possible that the Spirit may lead us into the wilderness and a temptation come. But we can say, Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we don't have to live in that wilderness forever. Amen. How wonderful it is to be led by the Spirit. The Bible said, as Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, so are we. Luke 4:18, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel. Acts 10:38, now the Lord was anointed by the Holy Ghost, which went about doing good. Hallelujah. We need that anointing as never before. 2 Corinthians 1:22, now He which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us in God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. And then finally, as He was raised from the dead by the Spirit, so shall we be quickened and made alive by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18, speaking of Christ, for Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now what does it say about us? Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, glory to God. The Bible tells us that as He was raised from the dead, that same Spirit will dwell in our mortal bodies. And it'll also quicken us. How many of you know, as the grave was open for Jesus, the grave is going to be open for us? Oh, glory. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Why, sure as there's a God in the heaven, that's what's going to happen. And so if you're really,
And if I had enough time, I'd deal with it. If you're going to deal with the minister of the Holy Spirit, you must pick the minister of the Holy Spirit up in creation, and you must follow it all the way through the Old Testament, moving into the New Testament, and go all the way to translation and then confirmation. Praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the church. I'm glad that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet, raise your hands, and let's give glory and honor to the one that lives forever and forever. Jesus, we praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We honor you tonight. We glorify your name. We're glad, Lord, that you have filled us full of your Spirit, and we're glad for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. How marvelous is the works of God. How marvelous is the works of God. We appreciate thee. We glorify thee. We adore thee, our Father and our God. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within.